This is the KHMB Radio Magazine. Community news, information, features, and entertainment. The KHMB Radio Magazine is brought to you by
Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees and fresh baked goods.
And by Cameron's Restaurant, Pub & Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's, your home away from home.
And by Kelly Morlock of Edward Jones Financial Advisors. Kelly Morlock can help you manage your wealth and retirement needs.
And by Shepherd Family Dentistry. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
So here's to the farmers and all that they do, breaking their backs just to feed me and you. I know there's some folks that don't have a clue. So here's to the farmers and all that they do.
The farmer, the ultimate analog effort in this digital world. And without them, quite simply, life would not be possible. This is Bill Wood, and my guest today is B.J. Burns, very possibly the best-known farmer on the coastside. Welcome, B.J.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, legend has it you've been farming and ranching in Pescadero for some 62 years. That commitment comes from generations past. Tell us how the family brought you to the land.
My grandfather come here in the late 20s on my dad's side. My mother's side was here from the mid-1880s. They've farmed ever since. I farmed with my dad until 63, and then I went to work for my, at the time I didn't realize it was with my future father-in-law.
You had to prove it to the future father-in-law first, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Before he'd let you have the daughter.
That's right. Otherwise, it's no deal.
No deal, right. It's easy for us to forget as those of us go to a grocery store, we're pawing through the produce, and we don't really think about who's responsible for what we eat. You're out there plowing the field at the crack of dawn. What's the most important thing on your mind?
Well, I think the future of agriculture in our county, it's dying off. Every year we lose one or two farmers or ranchers, and it really bothers me for the amount of people that we had in agriculture back 40 years ago or 50 years ago compared to today. It's scary. I think it could be stopped. The public is the one that we have to educate how important food is to our community and to our country. If we don't do that and we lose that, we're going to be dependent on foreign countries to feed us, and then we're not going to have a country no more. We got no say. And right now we've got all the infrastructure here. I think we need to develop a market in order to sell our products on this coast. And I think it can be done, and there's interest in it, and I hope we can succeed in doing something to promote it, and it'll help save what we have, and I think bring more of agriculture back.
Well, you're definitely in the promotional end of that because you've been a very vocal advocate for farming. You are president of the San Mateo County Farm Bureau. Now, that bureau's been around, they say, for 107 years. We know there's a brown building on Main Street, and that's about the extent of it. What are the primary goals of the Farm Bureau?
To promote agriculture, to save agriculture, to help our farmers and ranchers exist in this county and try to fight these regulations that we get all the time. And people don't realize that these regulations hurt us. The minimum wage is a big thing. People are all for that, and I can understand that. And we'd like to pay more than we do. You can't do it on the amount that we return. And with the expenses today, the infrastructure of this getting so expensive, it's hard to make it work. Got to do other things in order to subsidize agriculture to keep going. We'd rather just be farming and growing crops and employing our workers and feed the people. That's what Farm Bureau is all about, trying to save agriculture and try to fight these regulations and make it practical for farmers and ranchers to farm and stay in business.
How is the Farm Bureau actually supported financially?
We have a membership. We have California Farm Bureau, which is in Sacramento, but each county has its own Farm Bureau. We're not affiliated financially with them, but they support us if we need legal advice and stuff like that, and they have people that will help us promote things and work with legislators to try to change regulation. We basically do fundraisers. We have a golf tournament every year in June. We have different functions to raise money. And fortunately, we've got a building that's paid for, and we can get some money there off of the rent. You know, we support 4-H and FFA and agriculture, and we have a veterans dinner every year in November to help support veterans.
We all enjoy driving down Highway 1. We see all this farmland, and we hear it's been preserved. Well, we're not sure what preservation means. Is it farmed, or is it not?
Unfortunately, it's not being farmed like it was. There's a lot of vacant ground on this coast side in the valleys. Like I said, I'd like to see us be able to promote our product to get that back going. There's a lot of open space. We had one open space come here 40 years ago. Going to save agricultural and stop any future subdivisions. At that time, the annual crop report was, I think, $176 million. Last year's was $106 million. So they really haven't helped us save agriculture. And they've got the know-how, the finances. They could help a little bit more than what they're doing. And a lot of their land is sitting vacant. They've done a lot of good for some farmers. But overall, to save agriculture, they haven't really stepped up to the plate to try to help us out. They could be one to figure out this market system because they got the money behind them. But they use agricultural in order to purchase the land. It's not being used for what they're trying to promote.
Seems to work, but it's not working.
No. Yeah, it's preserving land, and that's not what we understood. We understood you were going to preserve the land for agriculture and promote ag and keep it in agriculture. And that's what we'd like to see is work with them. And there's a couple of open spaces and try to work to get this back going again. And that's what Farm Bureau is trying to do.
How many acres of farmland grazing land really are on the coast?
I've got some statistics that tell you about 1954 and 1950 through 1956. There's, I think, 295,500 acres on this coast site. 40% of that was in row crops, and I believe 37% of it was in grazing. So that's quite a few thousand acres. Today, I doubt if you could save 30,000 acres in true agriculture. The rangeland, I'm not really that up to. I mean, there's acres here and there that maybe I'm missing, but I know row crops on this coast side is died way, way down. I mean, there's a hand. We, at that time, there was 500 farmers. Today, lucky you have 50 farmers. It's dropped. We had between 4,000 and 4,500 farm workers. Today, I would guess we have probably between 500 and 600. You know, that's being promoted with this farm labor housing that we need all this for farm workers. We need agricultural, and then you'll have the workers, but we're losing the workers because we don't have the farms anymore, and they're going to go to work for construction or wherever else they can make better money to make the rent because everything's getting so expensive. So the housing is not really the problem, but there's money available to promote housing, but it's not needed right now. And we need to get agricultural up and going, and then the labor will come.
Why do you think that the farmland diminished? Was it used for something else or just taken out of service?
That's a good question. I'm puzzled with that myself because I think about in our Bay Area years ago, say there was 1 million people, and we had all kinds of agriculture, thousands of acres of agriculture, or artichokes, Brussels sprouts, flowers, row crops, and we only had, say, 100,000 people. Now we probably got 8 or 9 million people in the Bay Area, and there's less agricultural. It doesn't make sense. Those people still need to eat. Where are they getting their food? And people don't seem to be interested in where their food comes from or interested in food. But if you talk to individuals, they're all enthused about it and recognize it when you talk to them. But as long as it's in the grocery store, people don't seem to care. And little by little, we're losing out. And pretty soon, one day, they're going to wake up and we're not going to have it here. It'll be some other state or wherever it's going to come from. And then we're going to lose a lot of, you know, our own control that we should have for our food. We should be able to protect our own food.
Your efforts and your promotion and information and how you have been involved in this hasn't gone unnoticed. You have a brass plaque on the building down there.
That was very nice.
Well, that was what?
22,
and they put your name on the building.
Yeah, which I appreciate very much. I just was at our Farm Bureau annual meeting in December, and I got the Distinguished Service Award. I feel very privileged to that. Board of Supervisors gave me a plaque at our last Farm Bureau meeting, recognition, and I appreciate that very much. But again, I appreciate that a lot, but that's not what I'm doing it for. I'm doing it because it's in my blood, and I want to see generations farm on this coast side and not lose our agriculture. And if open space be open with us and work with us, they're the salvation of keeping ag, and I'm right there until I can't go no more. I'm going to do what I can to help the farmers and ranchers because it's important.
And that what keeps you on the land, it's in your blood.
It's in my blood. I don't know what else I do. I love what I do. I've got a daughter now that she's wanting to farm and ranch, and I'm trying to help her keep it going because I've been there 63 years old, and I'm not a young chicken anymore. I'm getting up there, and although I'm not thinking about quitting, but I just, you know, I wanted to see it keep going.
We know you're not quitting, and I'm sure you've got something else you need to get back to. So I appreciate certainly you coming in and visiting with us today. My guest today has been B.J. Burns, a Coastside farming legend and advocate for those who till the land. Now, you know what, I'm going to take a moment, and I'm going to let Jonathan Parks tell you just how it is for a farmer.
Every morning at daybreak, he's up on his feet. He works sun up to sundown, sometimes all night. He ain't just a job, man, it's his way of life.
For the feature story of the week, this is Bill Wood.
So here's to the farmers and all that they do, breaking their backs just to feed me and you. I know there's some folks that don't have...
Our thanks to contributor Bill Wood for yet another interview with someone making a difference in our community. For Radio Magazine, this is Jim Henderson. 58 years ago, Half Moon Bay and the Coastside were considered far away places for those living on the Bayside. For a look at what things were like back then, join Cameron Palmer, host of the KHMB Time Machine, for a trip back to 1958. This is Community Radio for the San Mateo County Mid-Coast, 100.9, Coastside Radio.
You've been listening to the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. Know someone who deserves to be recognized in the community? Call us today at 453-4000 or email us news@khmbradio.com.
This is Radio Magazine, a community service of KHMB AM 1710 and KHMV 100.9 FM.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
And now, the AM 1710 Time Machine, with host Cameron Palmer.
1958. We are now into January of 1958. What were things like on the Coastside back then? Well, checking the archives of the Half Moon Bay Review, aircraft facility for Pescadero, some $525,000 has been released by the Air Force to build an aircraft navigational facility at Pescadero. The money was okay by the House Appropriations Committee. However, the regional administrator of the Civil Aeronautics Administration says the facility will now be built in Petaluma. And county leads in 57 buildings. San Mateo County ranked first among the 9 Bay Area counties in value of office buildings permits issued in 1957. It ranked third in industrial buildings and fifth in store buildings. And now for a little history in the making, from my restaurant, Cameron's Pub. Have any one of you out there played Hide the Thimble? It's a long tradition in our family, starting at my grandma's house, who was a seamstress and was well acquainted with using a thimble. Few folks use them now, but here's a fun use that many Coastsiders may not even know about. Everyone closes their eyes while a person hides the thimble with just a couple of rules. You must be in the general area. You must be partially in sight. Encourages the seeker with prompts as they approach different areas looking for the thimble. Cold, colder, freezing, hot, so on and so forth. This causes a shift in direction. Warm, warmer, hot, on fire. This works for all ages. With little ones, often beat up the adults. My niece grew up playing and is paying it forward at her coffee shop, Granola's on Highway 1. Just north of 92, she hides a thimble and gives clues, and the finder earns a free pastry. For those of you who don't have a thimble in the household to keep the old-fashioned game going, will have a little gift pack with instructions available that you can purchase at Granola's Coffee Shop. So keep calm and hide the thimble on. 1958, Americans learn what recession is all about with large increases in unemployment, 5.2 million or 7% of the workforce. Cars continue to get bigger and heavier and larger engines, but imports are growing as Datsuns and Toyotas from Japan go on sale. America's first satellite is launched from Cape Canaveral as the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA, is formed. In lower atmosphere, U.S. passengers, jet flights start with the National Airlines Boeing 707, and the first transatlantic passenger jetliner service begins with flights between London and New York on the new British Comet jet. This September, Jack Kilby and a newly hired engineer at Texas Instruments invents a microchip, and Elvis is inducted into the Army. In popular culture, the Wham-O Company introduces the hula hoop, and over 100 million are sold. On the big screen, popular films include South Pacific, The Bridge on the River Kwai, and Vertigo. On the small screen, popular TV shows include Candid Camera, The Ed Sullivan Show, and Alfred Hitchcock Presents. In popular music, this first hit record in 1956 was number one for 8 weeks, and now he's gone platinum with this song for 13 weeks. Here's the King, Elvis, and Wear My Ring Around Your Neck.
Won't you wear my ring around your neck to tell the world I'm yours by heck. Let them see your love for me, and let them see by the ring around your neck. Won't you wear my ring around your neck to tell the world I'm yours by heck. Let them know
records are big. This is the year that novelty records are popular, and this one reflects our newest interest in outer space. 6 weeks on number one, here's Shelb Woolley and the Purple People Eater.
Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had one long horn and one big eye. Like a Mr. Shaking in the city. It looks like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
A one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. Sure looks strange to me.
One-eyed.
Well, he came down to earth and he lit in a tree. I said, Mr. Purple People Eater, don't eat me. I heard him say in a voice so gruff,
tough.
It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
flying purple people eater sure looks strange to me.
What for?
I said, Mr. Purple People Eater, what's your line? And he said, eating purple people and it sure is fine. But that's not the reason that I came to land.
A rock and roll band.
Well, bless my soul, rock and roll, flying purple people eater, pigeon toed undergrowth, flying purple people eater.
We wear short shorts.
Friendly little people eater, what a sight to see.
Oh!
And then he swung from the tree and he lit on the ground and he started to rock, really rocking around. It was a crazy ditty with a swinging tune.
Sing a bop, bop, a boop, a lap, a loom, bam.
Well, bless my soul, rock and roll, flying purple people eater, pigeon toed undergrowth, flying purple people eater.
I like short shorts.
Flying purple people eater, what a sight to see.
Purple people.
Well, he went on his way, and then what do you know? I saw him last night on a TV show. He was blowing it out, really knocking him dead, playing rock and roll music through the horn in his head.
Thank you for joining us for another ride in the KHMB Time Machine. Until next week and another year, I'm Cameron Palmer.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
This is Radio Magazine, a community service of KHMB AM 1710 and KHMV 100.9 FM.
A reverse mortgage is a financial tool that allows senior homeowners to access the equity in their homes without having to sell them. Essentially, instead of making monthly mortgage payments, seniors receive money from a lender, which is then paid back when they move out of the home or pass away. This can be particularly beneficial for seniors who are on a fixed income and may need extra funds to cover living expenses, healthcare costs, or home repairs. By providing access to cash while allowing them to stay in their homes, reverse mortgages can help seniors maintain their quality of life, such as paying off existing debts, funding home improvements, or covering medical expenses. This financial cushion can give seniors peace of mind, helping them to live more comfortably and securely without the burden of monthly mortgage payments. For more information about this financial tool for seniors, call your Coastside Reverse Mortgage Specialist at 858-967 6060 858-967-6060.
Welcome to Financial Focus on KHMB, Community Radio for the Coastside. Join us as we explore what you need to know about securing your financial future. We'll cover topics like managing your 401k and IRA, understanding your Social Security benefits, and navigating pension plans. It's time to help you enjoy the retirement you've worked so hard for. And now, here's your host, Kelly Morlock of Edward Jones in Half Moon Bay.
Hi, everybody. This is Kelly Morlock, financial advisor with Edward Jones, and this week's financial focus. Love languages can help you enjoy Valentine's Day on a budget. Valentine's Day doesn't have to break the bank. In fact, the most meaningful expressions of love often cost little to nothing. The key is understanding your partner's love language and tailoring your approach accordingly. When you know what makes your partner feel truly valued, you can create memorable experiences without the financial pressure that often accompanies this holiday. The five love languages, words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch, offer a roadmap for showing affection without overspending. Here's how to express your love while staying financially smart this Valentine's Day. Words of affirmation. For partners who value verbal expressions of love, heartfelt words matter far more than expensive gifts. Write a letter expressing what you appreciate about them. Create a personalized playlist with songs that remind you of your relationship. Or record a video message. All are free, but carry immense emotional value. For this love language, thoughtful expression surpasses financial investment every time. Acts of service. If your partner feels loved through helpful actions, Valentine's Day is about sweat equity, not spending. cook their favorite meal, tackle chores they've been dreading, or, for those who have expressed frustration with budgeting, create a simple budget tracker or spreadsheet tucked into a decorative folder. Your time and effort demonstrate your love. The beauty of acts of service is that they cost little to nothing but demonstrate care and attention. Receiving gifts. Even gift-oriented partners don't need expensive presents to feel valued. Focus on thoughtfulness and personalization over price tags. Try DIY crafts that show you put time into creating something. Explore thrift stores for vintage treasures, or consider giving stock in a company your partner loves, a retail store, a tech brand, or a coffee chain. Many platforms offer fractional shares, so you don't need a huge budget. Remember, a $10 item chosen with care can mean more than a $100 generic gift. Quality time. For those who value undivided attention, experiences often cost less than gifts. Check for free museum days, plan a scenic picnic, go stargazing, or create a cozy home movie night with homemade popcorn. The key is being fully present without distractions. For a longer-term outlook, consider a future fund jar for shared goals, like a couple's massage or a trip. Make the first deposit and pair it with a handwritten note about building dreams together. Physical touch. Intimacy and affection are inherently free, but small comfort investments can enhance closeness. Create an at-home spa experience with inexpensive bath products. Invest in cozy blankets for cuddling, or clear space in your living room for dancing together. These minimal purchases amplify connection without requiring significant spending. There's no wrong way to celebrate Valentine's Day, and overspending isn't necessary. If you're diligent about budgeting, you'll know what you can afford to spend. Understanding your partner's love language empowers you to express affection in ways that resonate deeply, without the financial stress. The best Valentine celebrations come from the heart, not the wallet. This is Kelly Morlock, financial advisor with Edward Jones, and this week's Financial Focus.
This content was provided by Edward Jones. For use by Kelly Morlock, your Edward Jones financial advisor, at 650-726-9133.
This is Radio Magazine, a community service of KHMB AM 1710 and KHMV 100.9 FM.
I'm Jacqueline Long from Mindful Child and Family Therapy. We're a therapy practice dedicated to promoting mental health and wellness. We support people of all ages, from young children all the way up through older adults and couples. We have offices here on the coast in Half Moon Bay, as well as over the hill. Our therapists are really passionate about supporting people with relationship challenges, trauma, grief, anxiety, and depression. We know life can be hard, and it can be hard to find trusted people who can skillfully guide you through those tough times. But we're not here for easy. We're here for you. Visit us today at mcaft.com, which stands for Mindful Child and Family Therapy. That's mcaft.com. Or you can call us at 650-300-3635. We love what we do, and Coastside Community, we love you.
This is Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show featuring guest hosts speaking on a variety of health-related issues. Keeping Pace with Your Health is brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. And now, this week's guest host.
Hello, this is Dr. Barry Canty, D.C., your host for Keeping Pace with Your Health. Today we're going to talk about something we all do, but don't give much thought to, and that is sitting. How you sit is vitally important to your spine and your overall health, and there is a ton of bad information out there. In fact, this episode is a direct response to an article that was filled with such bad info. So now, sit down and relax, and learn how to sit down and relax. Before we can truly understand sitting, we first need to discuss standing. When you stand in proper posture, you exert 100% of your body weight on your spinal joints, which is to be expected. When you bend forward just 15 degrees, which is the amount you bend when brushing your teeth, washing your hands, shaving, doing dishes, you increase that amount to 150% of your body weight. Most of us can't even imagine holding that position for even 30 minutes. let alone hours per day. Here's the crazy part. How the experts tell us to sit comes into play. When you sit in what we are told is proper sitting posture, that is, back flat against the back of a chair, thighs parallel with the floor, and knees bent 90 degrees, you exert 140% of body weight on your spinal joints. So think about that for a few seconds. When you sit in what we are told is the best posture, it is almost the same amount of stress on your body as if you were bent 15 degrees standing up. And now consider holding that position for hours. It's easy to see how problems can be created, and that is far from the worst seated posture. The three worst sitting postures are hunched forward. Hunching is widely regarded as the worst sitting posture. Many people, especially office workers who spend long hours at the computer, tend to hunch while sitting. As a result, they often end up sitting with a hunched back and a raised head. Hunching can compress the stomach and lungs, leading to breathing difficulties, chest tightness, and indigestion. Prolonged neck curvature can also cause tension-type headaches. Hunching the back and leaning the head forward can also cause severe compression on the cervical spine and lead to cervical degeneration. Number two is slouched backwards. When sitting in a chair with a backrest, it's common for people to lean back lazily, leaving a gap between their lower back and the chair. This posture is known as the slouched position and is particularly common when sitting in a deep couch or in bed. This posture can cause damage to the intervertebral discs, leading to problems in the lower body. The discs are like jelly donuts. In the slouched position, one end of the disc is pinched and the other on the verge of bursting. More after this.
This is Dr. Brian Shepherd. Do you snore or have trouble sleeping? If so, you may have obstructive sleep apnea. If untreated, obstructive sleep apnea can lead to stroke, heart problems, high blood pressure, and diabetes. Shepherd Family Dentistry can arrange a home sleep study connected with a specialized MD for diagnosis and customize a discrete appliance to alleviate symptoms and provide restful sleep. We can bill medical insurance and Medicare. If you would like to learn more, call us at 726-3355 or visit us at shepherddentist.com. You can get a good night's sleep, and I would like to show you how.
Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, phone 726-3355. Shepherd Family Dentistry.
Where we bring your smile to life.
Welcome back. Today we're talking about sitting. The third worst sitting posture is leaning to the side. Leaning on the armrest of a sofa or chair, or leaning the entire body against the side of an armrest and tilting to one side while sitting can cause imbalances and symptoms that are more likely to appear on one side of the body, such as in the shoulder, low back, or hip. Common conditions such as leg length discrepancy, uneven shoulders, scoliosis, and pelvic tilt are closely linked to this incorrect and unbalanced sitting position. Over time, it can even affect the functioning of internal organs. So how should we sit? First off, you need to understand that our bodies are not designed to stay in one position for extended periods of time, whether you're lying down, standing up, or sitting. The key is to move and change your position throughout the day. Unfortunately, many people today are forced to sit for extended periods. So what's best for them or for yourself? Well, two things. First one, get an inflatable wobble cushion, not to be confused with a whoopee cushion. Remember those? Anyway, back to the wobble cushion. It creates an unstable surface you sit on. This unstable surface causes the muscles that support you when you're seated to constantly be working, so it is impossible to stay in one position for too long. The second thing, sit on the front edge of the chair with your knees lower than your hips. This forces your back into an erect position with no additional pressure on your back. If you're on a long drive, take the wobble cushion with you. It will make the drive much more comfortable. Feel free to direct your questions or comments to khmbradio@aol.com. Till next time, this is Dr. Barry Canty wishing you well.
This has been Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show devoted to important health topics. Keeping Pace with Your Health has been brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
This is Radio Magazine, a community service of KHMB AM 1710 and KHMV 100.9 FM.
On a carousel, on a carousel.
Coastside Carousel, the show devoted to spotlighting the groups and artists that make up our local musical entertainment community.
Coastside Carousel is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Cameron's, good food and good times for the entire family.
And now your host for Coastside Carousel.
Listener-supported community radio for the Coastside is KHMB. And welcome to Coastside Carousel, the show that's by and for local artists along the Coastside and the Bay Area bands who visit here to play live. I'm Mike Dale. Support for Coastside Carousel comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, the only true British pub on the coast and voted one of the top 8 pubs in all of California.
This week on Coastside Carousel, words and music with Grammy Award-winning violinist Mads Tolling. He and pianist Adam Kippel will explore music from Mads' album Playing the 60s, which features music from the 1960s TV shows, movie, and radio hits on Saturday, February 7th at the Half Moon Bay Oddfellows Hall at 4:30. Seating is limited. Get your tickets in advance at hmb-odd.org. The show is called Strings and Keys. Mads, welcome to Coastside Carousel. I know this is your first time on Carousel, but you've played Half Moon Bay many times in the past. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. Love Half Moon Bay. I played the Fox Dancing and Dynamite Society, and I've always had a great experience there. It's such a special community and a special beach house right there, Half Moon Bay. And then of all places, I played the Half Moon Bay Library.
What? Really? I went to elementary school across the street from there many moons ago.
Yeah, so, you know, Half Moon Bay has a lot to offer, and I've had my fair share of some of those things.
I want to say your website is phenomenal. It is just an encyclopedia of all the stuff that you've done. So let's go back to the beginning. You're born in Copenhagen, right? And your parents give you a violin at the age of 6. So you're getting all this classical training. And then by the time you're 15, and this is where I ask people where they really got their musical influences, you discovered Miles Davis. Tell us that quick story and how you went from classical training in violin to really jazz.
Yeah, I think, early on I was doing Suzuki violin, and then I got into regular classical violin playing. And I think I was being sort of a good boy, and I was picking up the violin, taking it seriously, and I got pretty good at it, you know, pretty quick. And I think there's also some level of satisfaction when you get better and better, and you prepare for your teacher and sort of that whole mindset. So I enjoyed being that guy. And I think it wasn't until I, like you mentioned, discovered Miles Davis and John Coltrane that I, you know, really kind of stepped into my own and realized, oh, this is actually something where I feel connected. Not to get me wrong, I love classical music, and I, you know, listen to that a lot now. But I feel like it was a maturity process where I got into jazz, and that's really what hit me first, listening to Miles, Kind of Blue, Earth of the Cool, all those great albums had a profound impact on me. And, you know, to this day, I still listen a lot to that music.
Tell us about the show itself, Saturday, February 7th, Half Moon Bay Oddfellows Hall. Tell us about the gig with Adam Kippel and what you guys are going to do that night.
Yeah, Adam Kippel is actually a great pianist and a Hammond B3 player. He plays with the band Blood, Sweat, and Tears. He's a kind of a New York transplant. He lives in the Bay Area down the peninsula. And what we're going to do that evening is we're going to play some of the music from my album, Mads Tolling, and the Mads Been Playing in the 60s, where we kind of play fun versions of songs from the 60s that you're going to be playing on your show. And we're also going to play a little bit of music from George Gershwin's Porgy and Bess.
It's so amazing to me. A violinist is making this music palatable for the masses, and you're doing that. We're talking with Mads Tolling, Strings and Keys. And Mads, what I want to do right now is give them a taste of that sound of the 60s with violin all along the watchtower. Are you guys ready? You want to talk about this song at all before we play it?
Real briefly, it was actually made by another great pianist, Colin Hogan, who I work with. And he took the music from Cuba. You know, he combined the Afro-Cuban style with the iconic Jimi Hendrix sound. And so you'll hear bits and pieces of that Jimi Hendrix guitar solo on the violin, but then the whole Afro-Cuban element is all in on this one.
It's your Half Moon Bay premiere with Jimi Hendrix and Mads Tolling. It's All Along the Watchtower on KHMB's Coastside Carousel. Radio for the Coastside is KHMB at 100.9 FM and AM 1710. This is Coastside Carousel, the show by and for local artists on the Coastside and the more famous fans who visit our coast. And we're celebrating the music of Mads Tolling, violinist extraordinaire, who's performing with pianist Adam Kippel on Saturday, February 7th at Half Moon Bay Odd Fellows, 4:30 showtime. So it's an early show. And, we've had early shows at Odd Fellows before, Mads, where they say, come to a great show and then go out and have a nice dinner in Half Moon Bay. So that's kind of what maybe you guys are going to do as well. Mads, we talked earlier that you're covering a lot of territory in the live show at Odd Fellows on February 7th. So we played all along the Watchtower. So you're going from like classic rock, even to pop culture. Meet the Flintstones? Really?
Yeah, that also became part of it, you know, because, over in Denmark where I grew up, we would watch that show. So I thought, why not? And Meet the Flintstones is so tied in with the history of jazz because it's based on the same corporation as I Got Rhythm by Gershwin. So those are known as rhythm changes. And so even though Meet the Flintstones is pretty old, 1960 goes back to an even older tune.
I had no idea. So you're saying that a lot of this stuff that we're hearing from pop culture 60s has its derivations from back in the day, even to maybe musicals and so forth?
Oh, for sure. I mean, when you look at what Miles and Coltrane played when they came in, If I Were a Bell, Stella by Starlight, Autumn Leaves, all these songs, they're all tied to pop culture, and they're the pop music of the time.
Tell me about your rendition now, and the crowd is going to love this when you play it. Meet the Flintstones. What are you going to do to make that characteristically Mads Tolling?
Well, we are playing this very fast, so we do this blistering version of it, and it just came out that way. I like it. I mean, you will hear it, but we had this playful intro that is very freewheeling. It's actually over the form, but when people hear it, they go, what are they doing? What's going on with this? And then all of a sudden we break into the melody and it's very obvious. So it's kind of like, what's going on? And then people get it. And then, as I mentioned, the connection with I Got Rhythm, you will hear later in the piece that we kind of tip our hat to the old Gershwin chestnut there.
Let's hear it now. This is Meet the Flintstones, Mads Tolling, on KHMB's Coastside Carousel, celebrating the gig on February 7th, a Saturday, 4:30 at Half Moon Bay Odd Fellows on KHMB. everyone recognizes that song, Meet the Flintstones, on KHMB's Coastside Carousel, community radio for the Coastside, brought to us each week by Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, the only true British pub on the coast. It's Mike Dale with you and words and music today with Mads Tolling, violinist extraordinaire, performing with pianist Adam Kippel on Saturday, February 7th at the Havamu Bay Odd Fellows Hall at 4:30. Get your tickets in advance. It's going to be a small venue, and it will sell out, hmb-odd.org. Mads, when you talk about your life in music, I know you've been touring a lot. You're a national act now. It's seeming like you're always on the road. Even right now, you're in a hotel room somewhere in the world. What is 2026 going to bring for you?
Yeah, it's going to bring more touring. I'm going to continue some of my collaborations with some of the great artists I've been working with already. Unfortunately, we lost Bob Weir. Tragically, he's not with us anymore. So that's a big loss for the Grateful Dead community, for the Wolf Bros community that I really enjoyed playing with. But I'm going to continue playing with Melvin. Seals look like we're going to do some things with Dark Star Orchestra out in, when it comes to the month of May. And then I'm going to continue with my own group, the Mads Men. We have some gigs lined up in the Bay Area as well as on the road. And, the year is just kind of taking shape. I look forward to playing my violin concerto too, which is something else that I have. A couple of concertos that I've written for Oakland Symphony that I played all over, including Japan and Hawaii. I'm going to be playing that at a festival out in Vermont in the summer. And whenever I get a chance to play my concertos, it's a lot of fun because it's, you know, exactly everything that my background kind of leads into, which is, you know, having the classical background, but going into jazz. And now I can bring my jazz background back into the symphony and into that kind of chamber orchestra groups.
Is your brain easily able to change between, let's say, a classical mode and a jazz mode? I know it's about, you know, it's about music and scales and chord changes and all of that for you, but it's even deeper than that. There's a lot of subtlety going on in the music that you're playing. You even alluded to it in Meet the Flintstones and how you bridged it with another classical piece inside that. How does your brain work when you're going through all these perambulations in your musicology?
Yeah, I think I definitely am able to. There's a little bit of a switch that you make when you go from one style to another. And, you know, it's the same thing with classical musicians. They play Baroque music by Bach. They're going to play that different than they're going to play Mendelssohn, a romantic piece. So same thing for me. But what I think I do bring to the table when I play classical music, which I kind of do dabble in a little bit still, is I play with less vibrato. A lot of classical musicians have like that big vibrato and that sort of big sound. My approach is different. Less vibrato. Less of a big, very, more of a rhythmic intensity, especially when I play stuff like Bach, you know, which already has that sort of bebop-like language. I feel like I can add to that, not taking anything away from great classical players. They can do stuff that I can't do in a million years. But some things I really enjoy, the rhythmic intensity and the non-vibrato kind of sound.
Don't you feel like you live a magical life, Mads?
I don't know about that, but it can be fun, that's for sure.
Mads Tolling, thank you so much. Have a great show Saturday, February 7th, hmb-odd.org. It's going to be a great show, and it will sell out. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Thanks for being finally on the show.
That'll do it for this edition of Coastside Carousel. Remember to support our local musicians, the Bay Area bands who visit here to play live, and the wonderful music venues along the coastside. We are blessed with a rich tapestry of vibrant music. If you're a local band who writes original music and you want to be featured on the show, email me, mike@khmbradio.com. I'm Mike Dale. Stay in tune and be well on your carousel.
On the carousel.
You've been listening to Coastside Carousel.
featuring the music and artists of our local entertainment community. For suggestions and comments for the show, call us at 453-4000 or email us carousel@khmbradio.com.
Coastside Carousel has been brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Visit Cameron's at cameronsinn.com.
You have been listening to the Radio Magazine, heard daily on KHMB. If you have suggestions or comments for the show, call us at 453-4000 or email us magazine@khmbradio.com.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. As Christians become more active in politics, they must remember to elevate principles above party loyalty. Perhaps the best illustration of this comes from the life of Founding Father Benjamin Rush, a signer of the Declaration of Independence who served in the presidential administrations of John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and James Madison, each of whom was from a different political party. When Benjamin Rush was asked of his personal party affiliation, he responded, "I've been alternately called an aristocrat and a Democrat. I am neither. I am a Christocrat. I believe all power will fail of producing order and happiness in the hands of man. He alone who created and redeemed man is qualified to govern him." Like Benjamin Rush, we too must remain Christocrats, regardless of our personal party affiliation.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.